At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Scented Oils, you'll want to invite everyone over, from book club to the fantasy league, even the in-laws.
It smells amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Scented Oils are infused with 2 times more natural essential oils versus regular Airwick scented oils for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience. Transform your space with scents like white sage and mahogany or lavender and water lily. Now that's a breath of fresh Airwick.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
There's no I in team, but there is one in Indeed, and that's the hiring platform that you need to build yours. When you're hiring, you need Indeed. Instead of spending hours on multiple job sites searching for candidates with the right skills, Indeed's a powerful hiring platform that can help you do it all. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it makes hiring all in one place so easy because Indeed does the hard work for you. They show you the candidates whose resumes on Indeed fit your description immediately after you post so you can hire faster. Join more than 3 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Start hiring now with a $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. Offer good for a limited time. Claim your $75 credit now at Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. And support the show by saying that you heard it on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Benched with Bubba, episode 279. Going to switch it up a little bit for you on this episode. It's not a fantasy baseball or fantasy football or baseball movies talk, none of that kind of stuff. But we're talking baseball, but we're talking Korean baseball. And I'm pretty pumped for this episode. We have a special guest. You can find him on Twitter at MyKBO. Dan Kurtz, how are we doing, my friend?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
No, thank you for joining us. Before we get started, I know we'll talk about it often throughout the episode, but just give a little kind of refresher to everyone who you are, how you became a fan of the KBO, your website, all that good stuff.
Sure. Well, my name's Dan Kurtz, and yes, I run mykbo.net, which is now a website. And like you said, you gave me a Twitter handle at mykbo. And basically, it is a website dedicated to the Korea Baseball Organization, otherwise known as the KBO, in the English language, which when I made this website 20 years ago, it wasn't a website at the time. It was a message board, a forum. Back in the day, those are popular, and so that's what it started out as. It's now turned into a website simply because there was a lack of English information about the league, whether you were living in Korea or even outside of Korea. There was just not a lot of information out there. I myself am adopted from South Korea. I was adopted at the age of 4 months. So my Korean skills, they still aren't great, but I learned the language during my time. I studied there for a year and ended up living and working over there over the past 2 decades. Have been in South Korea many times and now currently live in the United States. But that just elementary level of Korean language knowledge then furthered me wanting to learn more about the baseball league itself over there. And so over the last 20 years, I've been learning myself and just putting out all the information that I find useful and helpful for me as a fan to other fans. And my hope is that other fans around the world, not just, you know, in Korea or Asia, will learn more about the league. They'll learn more about the baseball that's being played over there. Maybe even want to go over to Korea when all this COVID-19 stuff is done and experience a baseball game, experience the culture of Korea over there, because it's a great country. It's great baseball, whether, you know, it might not be MLB caliber, but it is fun to watch. It keeps you entertained. And there's a ton of stuff and great food over there to do as well.
That's awesome. 20 years. That is darn impressive that you've done, from the message boards to your website. Obviously a very popular name in the KBO world. And we're going to get into the kind of way the game is played and the fun of the game and the culture of all that. But I'm going to start out with the kind of downer stuff first. We can have fun towards the end here. We're going to talk about, you know, COVID-19. Obviously, this is one of the big reasons that there's way more attention from the U.S. on the KBO right now. We've seen the CPBL get started up here, but the KBO is a league that, you know, any Major League Baseball fan, we know there's a lot of talent that comes over from the KBO. You have Josh Lindblom this last year. We've had Eric Thames. Other great players have come over from the KBO after a little trip over there and have made an impact. But we might get more invested again this year, and it is because of COVID-19. So what is it that you maybe have been watching that has allowed Korea to get back into it so fast? Because, you know, you pay attention to Major League Baseball. We have all these different Arizona plans and Florida plans. Nothing's sticking, and we're hoping for maybe July. Korea's turned it around pretty quick, and they've been, you know, having scrimmages. Now they're having spring training games. What is it that they're doing differently to make this a possibility?
Well, one of the things is they listened. I'm an American citizen, but as you heard, I was adopted from South Korea. I love the freedom that is here in the United States of America, but sometimes compared to East Asia, and I'll just use Korea specifically, the freedom that we see in the United States can be taken to the, you know, people like their own personal freedom, which is great. But then when you get a stay-at-home order, or, you know, hey, stay at home, let's do what's best for the country, let's do what's best for the citizens, it is not always adhered to, as we're starting to see more and more protests happen. They're getting tired of staying home because, look, I'm tired of staying home myself, you know. Mm-hmm. But, hey, if it helps the health and the welfare of the citizens at whole, that's what I think should be done. This is my own personal stance. But that is generally how the citizens in South Korea take look at it as well. They took pride in helping flatten the curve. They listened to when the government said, hey, let's stay home, let's do the social distancing. They ramped up the testing. They had all the resources needed. And thus that translated into the curve flattening, and then extracurricular activities such as the baseball league are now able to get started and get ready for the 2020 season. But that being said, the Korea CDC just put out saying, hey, watch out, there could be a second wave coming in. And just like that, the league could be stopped. It could be paused for multiple weeks. It could eventually even be canceled if, you know, they're you know, starting to go out and starting to do normal life things again in Korea. If the COVID-19 starts coming back in force over there, they're going to put a pause to the league.
Okay, and that's a very good point there, because right now, you know, us trying to be optimistic, A, I agree. If we all just kind of did our part, this might go a lot faster. And unfortunately, that's not the case. It's out of our control in America, unfortunately. But it is good to see they all did that there. And it's a good example. If we all work together, maybe we can get back to some normalcy. It's going to be a new normal no matter what we do. But this could give a little bit of normalcy. We saw with the KBO, they were playing intra-squad games, wearing masks and everything, and it got people's attention. Now they're playing spring training type games against other squads, and they're not having to wear a mask except, I believe, in the locker room. I want you to clarify all this for me if you can. But there's certain rules they're taking, precautions they're taking. What are they doing in the KBO to try to limit as much exposure between the players?
Sure, and let me preface this by the wearing of the mask, like now that it's starting to become more prevalent here in the United States where we are. Over in East Asia, Japan, Korea, wearing a mask was not uncommon, especially during the winter months, if you have like a cold yourself so that you prevent coughing and the droplets from going on anybody else, just so that they don't get the simple, you know, they don't get the cold from you. So that was the difference in the cultural aspects of it. You were asking about some of the reasons why maybe Korea was able to flatten out the curve. Like, the regular citizens didn't have a problem throwing on a mask going out to their local, you know, grocery store or something. That was not a problem because that's something that they have dealt with for many, many times over the years, whether it's because of yellow dust or because of their own personal cold. So with getting back to the KBO, when the players have to wear the mask and stuff like that, it's not that outrageous for them to be asked to wear a mask if they have to walk into the stadium with that. And or, you know, I've never seen them wearing masks to be playing baseball like we saw in the inter-squad games, but that was just, again, players going the extra step, taking a precaution that they felt themselves, if they want to continue their job of being professional baseball players, then hey, let's do something that can help prevent it. But the league right now is going to have players, as soon as you walk into the stadium, have their temperature checked twice. They have the hand sanitizer. You have the wiping down. The social distancing, which you have maybe seen a story about one of the largest things, one of the biggest things that they're not going to allow is like high fives and no spitting. So with baseball, that's very hard. I even think Dan Straley said the hardest part for him is going to be the no spitting on a baseball field.
No, it's
just some of the – oh, sorry.
It's funny you mentioned that. Sorry to interrupt you, but – I saw one of your affiliates or one of your coworkers or friends in the KBO world. You've been kind of quote tweeting him a lot and other things. That's how I started following him recently. I forget his name. I apologize, but he was mentioning the rules of the high fives and the spitting. And I even quote tweeted it because I played baseball all the way through high school and I still play softball and everything. And it's not even a matter of if it's, you know, unfortunately, chewing tobacco or sunflower seeds or spitting in general, it's just like a baseball habit, and baseball players are creatures of habit. And I was saying to people, I could see that being the hardest thing. So it's really interesting Dan Straley came out and said that, because you just see guys do it like it's, you don't even think about it after a while. So it's a disgusting habit, but unfortunately it's what we do playing the game. So that is very interesting. I'm sorry, continue. What other precautions are they taking?
Well, what I was going to say, well, just following up on the wonderful world of spitting, it's just one of those things where you talked about it's going to be the new normal, whether that's a new normal for the average day person staying at home or to these baseball players, whether it's in the KBO, MLB, Taiwan, Japan, they're just going to have to learn, you know, that you can't high five a guy, go hock a loony and then get right back to it like you used to, but, you know, pre-COVID. One of the funniest things that I saw in some of the first preseason game the other day was a guy scored a run. He went to go high five. All of a sudden, it was basically like the silent treatment. He just walked down to the dugout going like, okay, I just have my hand up. And that's basically how it's going to be. But when you play sports, when you do anything emotional, you know, emotions come first. You don't think about, well, I better go, you know, hold on, just wait. Put my hand up. Let's start not slapping high fives to everybody after we just scored the winning run. Like, that's going to be really, really tough to do. And with the KBO, when there's a walk-off win, I mean, they go insane over there. I know they do in the majors, but I mean, they take it to another level sometimes. I mean, they're chucking water bottles at dudes, pounding them. And this is just for like game number 30. You know, I mean, this is what's happening. But now that's one of the actual things that I'm looking forward to when the season begins, is how are they going to celebrate a walk-off home run? per se, with these new social distancing rules that are made to protect the players. And the players know that if they don't follow them, they could be then basically at home like everybody else, not doing their job because something happened and, you know, a player got infected.
Yeah, and that's crazy. That's a great point because, you know, like you said, any team sports, any emotions in general, even like when you go see a friend on the street and you want to say congratulations, well, you can't shake their hand, you can't give them a hug, like these just natural things that we've done forever that we're going to all have to adapt to. It's an interesting game. Maybe Howie Mandel was on to it all along. Just, you know, let's just not touch each other and sanitize our hands at all times.
Pretty much what they're going to have to do.
Pretty much. It's crazy. But it's, again, the new normal, and we're all adapting to it as we go. You mentioned the enthusiasm that the KBO shows, and I love watching a lot of the Asian baseball leagues over there, and especially the KBO. You see the fans get into it, the players' emotions. Now, I know they don't get paid the way some American players get paid. We've seen Kershaws and Trouts, and these guys say they're not going to leave their families. They're not going to do this stuff. Are they quarantining the players like to one hotel, like in a pod type idea, or are they still letting them go in and out of their households?
Are you referring to the KBO. Every player, or just for the foreign players in the KBO? The reason why I ask is because when the foreign players basically what happened was spring training happened for all 10 teams. There are 10 teams in the league, and it happened normal spring training, same as MLB, and they have their spring training in everywhere from Florida, Arizona, to Okinawa, Japan, to Taiwan. And so the teams all did their regular spring training. Then all of a sudden COVID hit Korea. The teams went all back to South Korea, and some teams, about half the teams, allowed their players to go home to their families in whether it is the United States or Mexico. For LG, Robert Ramos went home to Mexico, and they stayed with their family. Then all of a sudden, it started ramping back up, looking like the league was going to be coming back. And so the teams recalled their players, the foreign players that went home. And so these players came back. They arrived at the airport. They went to their hotel or apartments that are provided by the teams. Then as soon as they got back the next day, the government had put out this anybody, not just for the baseball players, anybody coming from overseas must be quarantined for 2 weeks. So that put the players into quarantine for 14 days, and that's why some of them in the inter-squad games were not being played because they weren't even with their team. So I know the Kiwom Heroes guys, LG Twins, the Hanoi Eagles, they had to stay inside their apartment for 2 weeks straight without being, you know, home quarantined. Now that it's past that quarantine time, now they were allowed out. They're allowed to rejoin their team. They've gotten into practice, and that's why coming up this preseason, this shortened preseason, very shortened, whether I think they're playing like 6 to 7 games, it's going to be very important for some of these foreign players that have not been, you know, for pitchers. They ramped it down. They, you know, they went home. Now all of a sudden they get to ramp it up here. They've been quarantined in their apartment. Now all of a sudden they're stepping back out onto the field, and boom. They may have been the opening day pitcher scheduled when pre-COVID, but if they're not ready, I don't know if they're going to, you know, some of these guys are going to be ready to take the ball on opening day, and they might have to, you know, skip a start or a little more delayed. So it's going to be interesting, but now that they're out of quarantine, they still, all the players, Korean and foreign players that are in the league there, are living at their home and just taking the normal precaution that everyday citizens are as well.
Okay, that's good to know. I don't want to harp us too long on COVID, but the last question I have on COVID, you mentioned it earlier. Say there is a positive test or some scenario where things start to ramp up and a second wave comes through. What have they already said? Are they just going to cancel the league? Is it a 2-week hiatus? What have they kind of put into play just in case right now?
So the last I saw was that the league, they are aware that it could easily just stop just like that at the drop of the hat because a player gets tested, or even they're saying even an employee within the team, you know, somebody, a coach, somebody, they will halt games. They will stop games, but they will not do an automatic cancellation of the season. They will wait about 3 weeks to resume. Okay. And they will do all the contact tracing and stuff like that as well. But just because there's a positive test with a big league player in Korea, they're not going to cancel the season just like that. They want to take some time and see what happened. During the preseason, during the spring training and the inter-squad games, there were a couple of times where teams had players, minor league players for them, come walk into the facility. Like I said, they're getting their temperatures checked. They had a fever. They went home. The team shut down the entire facility and said, hey, we're waiting for the test to come back. And so they sent all the players home. Test would come back. The test has come back negative. So then they say the next day, all right, we're resuming practice again.
Okay, that's good. I like hearing that there's options there, because it's good to see there's flexibility and there's hope to keep playing. I like the ideas they're using. I hope the American Major League Baseball can grab on to some of these ideas. Again, different scenarios, but it's good to see. Let's have some positive talks here now. Let's talk about the KBO. Let's educate myself and others on the KBO. Obviously, we can go to mykbo.net to learn all kinds of goodness there. But just in general, you said there's 10 teams. Is it like, you know, is it an American and a National League? Obviously, different terms probably, but how do they break up the divisions? Is there kind of a powerhouse like a New York Yankees? Give us a little run through on the teams in the KBO.
Sure. Just a brief overview of the KBO, which stands for Korea Baseball Organization. I know a lot of periodicals have written Korean Baseball Organization. I catch myself doing it sometimes, but it's actually the Korea Baseball Organization. I know some people stumble upon that, but there are 10 teams within the KBO. And now these teams are not named for the cities like the Philadelphia Phillies, which I'm a fan of. They are named after the large corporations. So you have heard of, everybody's heard of Samsung, LG. There's Doosan, which makes heavy equipment. There's the SK, which is a telecom company, as long as KT. Just examples. So they're not named for the cities that they're playing, that they're playing in. They're named for corporations that are owning the teams, sponsoring the teams for them. And these teams are all in one league. There is no separation. There's no, quote, American, quote, National League. They play with the designated hitter rules. The full season is scheduled. For this season, it's supposed to be each team's going to play 144 games. And again, that could be reduced just like that. But right now, the plan is to play 144 games. The teams play in, everybody has their own stadium except for the two Seoul teams, which is the Doosan Bears and LG Twins. They share the stadium at Chamcheol, which was around for the 88 Olympics. And probably the most successful teams here in the last couple of years would have been one of those Seoul teams, the Doosan Bears. They've won it the last 3 out of 4 years, won the title. You got the SK Wyverns, another strong team here over the last couple of years. Trey Hillman actually was their manager there a couple of years ago and helped them win that championship. They actually, you know, prevented Doosan from winning straight through there. You have some up-and-coming teams. The Lotte Giants are a team that's, quote, my 76ers are trusting the process and trying to rebuild, and they are totally going at it a different way than that they've done before. I haven't done my predictions, and I don't see a lot of success this season, but they're not building for this season, which is rare. They're actually waiting, trying to build this process and see a couple seasons from now. We'll see if they get time to do that. But yes, 10 teams, 144 games. Generally, the season runs from April until October. This year, it's running from May 5th is going to be opening day, and it is scheduled to end at the very end of November if all games are played as scheduled.
Awesome. That is great to hear. Yeah, I've seen kind of team names thrown out there, and as a San Francisco Giants fan, I'm like, I got to like the Lotte Giants, right? It just seems like the common sense thing to do, but I'll have to do some research here. It's always fun kind of trusting the process and seeing how that goes. Just for fun, what are they doing different than the normal KBO like team building?
So basically, yeah, they're a downtrodden franchise. Their last championship, again, NC Dinos and KT Wiz are the two newest team within the league. They came about 5 years ago, 6 years ago to enter the league. Before then, there was only eight teams. And the Lotte Giants, when they last won their last title, was in 1992. So just by like the numbers of eight teams, you would think at one point, just rolling the dice, you would actually come up with some success. But they have not been able to win a title since 1992. They had some success here in the mid-2000s, and Jerry Royster was the first foreign manager ever for them. They got into the playoffs 5 straight seasons then. And since then, they just kind of fell hard, and they have some popular players. They have Daeho Lee, played for the Mariners, came over. But some of the things that they've done on the field have not been successful, as well as front office, some controversies, such as they used CCTV. Basically, they spied on their players Sure that they weren't going out. That obviously would cause some dissension within the locker room between management and players, which would not bring a lot of trust. They've with their foreign players, they've known to not honor contracts. In fact, they actually just Josh Lindblom brought a lawsuit against Lotte, and he just found one eventually after all these years of in the court system. He actually won his grievance against the team, and they had to pay him as promised in his contract here. This I think it was in February when the ruling went down. So there's been a lot of not so great stuff for the team. They have an incredible fan base. I lived down in that area for a year. I mean, for one summer, one year, and I went to a lot of their games. And the fan atmosphere that those Giants fans have is incredible. Even if they don't have the success on the field, the team fans are just singing and cheering and getting excited for them. So whenever Lotte is good, it's an incredible. It's good for the league. And so everybody's hoping this new regime change is going to have some success. They brought in a former Cubs employee to take over the GM, which is not always has been the case here for KBO teams. They sometimes literally, like the Kia Tigers one year, placed in one of their factory managers from like Europe as like a Kia car factory manager as their baseball general manager. So they're shifting it a little more baseball focused. Hey, let's just focus on winning. Let's focus on baseball, the sport, not trying to please office politics within the Lotte Corporation itself. And so they brought in some guys like Ryan Long, Larry Sutton as their minor league coach. You got Julio Franco still working for them. Sungmin Kim, who used to work for Fangraphs, he started to work for them. Josh Hershberger, their pitching coordinator. So they've gone outside the typical KBO mold. And so we'll see if that plays out. Hopefully this new regime gets them enough time in their position.
That's interesting. That's pretty cool to hear the whole change of it all, and that they're going with a lot of outsourcing kind of foreign looks, it sounds like. When we look at the overall play in the KBO, is it more of I've heard it's more of an offensive league. How does the play in the KBO differ from maybe Major League Baseball?
Well, everybody always asks for what's the translation, and basically it's very hard to translate whether it's going from MLB or going from North American baseball to Asian baseball, and specifically the KBO, because here in the KBO, you could have a guy that's on the mound with major league stuff. Example, Ryu Hyun-jin came to the Dodgers, ace, right? He was the top player on his team, obviously. But on that same field, you also might have a 21-year-old kid that wouldn't even be in rookie ball or would be down, you know, like at A ball. So a roster, just because of the talent pool and the player availability, is you're going to have a team that could have a couple quad A MLB quality all-star followed up by guys that would be in the double A level down to, you know, get your rookies that might be in rookie league, but they're you know, young and a prospect, and the team has to play them just because of depth wise and they don't have as many players as a major league organization. So I honestly, if I had to peg it, it's between on a good day, triple A, on a bad day, down to double A.
Okay. No, that's a good way to look at it, because, you know, there's us in the States where, you know, Josh Lindblom's coming over, and it's pretty exciting. You know, he played in the bigs, went over to Korea to kind of, you know, fix things, and he pitched really well. They're obviously like Cy Young type stuff in Korea, and now he's coming back to America to pitch for the Brewers. So it's going to be interesting to see how that translates. It's always, you know, Eric Thames, and he talks about how much he loved playing in Korea and just the atmosphere and all that stuff. He kind of brought that persona back to Milwaukee when he was playing there. So it's always interesting as a spectator to see how these things will translate in Major League Baseball. Who are some players that I know I've looked at some of the lists, like Aaron Altherr is over there. That got my attention. Dan Straley, who you've mentioned. There's quite a few. Nick Kingham. Who are some of the guys that you guys are that Korea is looking forward to watching that we would know in the States?
Well, sure. So some of the players, the foreign players, we'll say that are new to the league this year and that people are getting excited about. Also, quick for the listeners, each team is allowed to carry three non-Korean players, foreign players, And a new rule change this year is that three players are allowed to be now playing on the field at the same time. Previously, they were only allowed to have two on the field active at the same time in one game. Now all three can be. Again, I don't foresee that happening a lot since all teams went with two foreign pitchers and one bat. So unless you're going into a playoff run and all hands on deck, you're probably not going to see all three players on the field at the same time, just because of the way the positioning goes. But so, like you said, Aaron Altherr, people are excited about, hey, former Philly. There's a lot of former Phillies actually over there. Ben Lively actually in Samsung Lions. But some new guys, Nick Kingham, everybody's excited about that. Another NC Dino to joining Altherr is Mike Wright. Very excited to see how he will do for his team over there. You have for the LG Twins, I mentioned Robert Ramos earlier. They've always been a team that has been sometimes struggling to find their foreign bat, basically. And so they're hoping that Ramos cures all that and is able to hit very well over there. And they happen to play at one of the most non-homer friendly ballparks in the league, which is at Chomshell Stadium. So teams are trying to position themselves. During the off season, they play to what their strengths are, and they get to sign guys that are not only willing to come over to South Korea, but also maybe possibly, depending where they were, a pay cut. But then again, if it's a minor league guy, most likely some of them are getting pay raises. But they also have to find guys, like I said, that are willing to bring their family over and stay for one season, in a culture that they have no idea about generally. And to find success on the field, which is one of the hardest things to do. And that's why you're asking about translation between leagues and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. It's one of the hardest things to determine whether a guy that plays in AAA, say Las Vegas, is going to be good over in South Korea just by looking at stats, because you truly don't know how they're going to adjust on and off the field.
That's a very, very good point. That is a solid, solid point, Barry, because each situation could be definitely different in that scenario. You mentioned real quickly there that, you know, maybe a pay cut or a pay raise. Just out of curiosity, what are kind of the highest paid players making in Korea?
Sure. This year, if you were to have a first-year player, there is a salary cap installed. So what you can do is for those first-year foreign players, the rookies, their max pay is $1 million and not even paid, because if there's a buyout incorporated, so just simple math, we'll say there's like a $400,000 buyout, expensive buyout for player A, then the max of his salary would have to only be $600,000. But then after that first year, the team is able to pay them whatever they want currently.
Gotcha.
So, okay. If you have success in that first year, you can have, that means you've done very well, and you then have the team there hopefully willing to pay you more than $1 million, up to, you know, the average you might see a $2 million contract, but teams again are getting a little more budget conscious across the board. And so I don't know if you'll be seeing too many like $3 million contracts and stuff like that popping up. This year it looks like the highest paid player is probably going to be Tyler Wilson, making upwards of $1.6 million. That's with team option there, incentives basically. If he hits all that, it'll be about $1.6 million, which is the top in the league.
Yeah, looking at Tyler Wilson's stats from last year, he pitched very well. So he definitely earned it. 2.92 ERA, 137 Ks, yeah.
Yep. And that's why some of these guys that are maybe going to say, example, I'm taking a look at Taylor Motter. He came over to the Kiwom Heroes right this year for $350,000, right? Mm-hmm. My guess is he's betting on himself to do well. And so then he gets a significant pay raise the next year, because Jake Brigham did the same thing, came over, pitched very well. He's now up to $950,000 a couple years later. So a lot of these guys, you know, they want to look out for the family. It is a job, but then at the same time, they also have to think about their family. But then, you know, it's kind of like, what is the limit of what they're willing to go for or not go for? And then you got to look for the future too. What can their potential earning be down the road?
No, that's a very interesting way to look at it. Like, it's kind of a, you can only make X amount on year one, but now, like you said, you're betting on yourself. So it's a very interesting way to go about it. At the same time, some of these players might have, you know, hit that wall in the minor leagues, and this is a new start and a new way to figure it out and give it a shot. So very interesting way to go about it. And we talked about some foreign players right there. Who are some of the Korean players that we don't know about that we should know about, especially if we're going to watch this year, or maybe players that might end up, you know, getting a cup of coffee in the bigs here in the next few years or something?
Sure. Yeah, I had my list here. Well, one of the players that actually possible MLB fans might have heard of is Kia Tigers pitcher Yang Hyun-jung. Now, he was posted in 2014, and a team won the bidding, but his Korean team, the Kia Tigers, rejected that bid, and so thus he was not able to come over. He is now the ace of the league, Korean pitcher, best Korean pitcher probably in the league at this point, now with Kwang Hyun going to the St. Louis Cardinals. Since he's out of the equation, Yang is going to be the number one Korean pitcher, and he is somebody that will possibly even get a deal. This, depending on how the season plays out for him, he could possibly come over to the United States or to North America to play. Another player that is going to be, he has already been promised that by his team that he's going to post, is the Kiwom Hero shortstop, Kim Ha-sung. Now, interesting thing is, he took over for Jung-ho at short there for the Heroes when Jung-ho went to the Pirates. So now Kim Ha-sung has been promised by the Heroes that he will get posted after this season. So he is another player to watch. Again, on the same team, a young pitcher for them, a good arm, is Woojin An. An being his last name. He is he was a prospect drafted, very highly touted, and hopefully he got it all together and he'll be able to help the Kiwom Heroes. They are a very budget-conscious team. They would be considered the Oakland A's of the KBO. They've been very budget-conscious for years, and they've been actually quite successful at being good on the field despite having a limited budget. Another player that possibly could be coming to the majors is for the NC Dinos. His last name is Na, his first name is Sungbum. He got injured last year, but he's been hobbled here with that injury. But before that, he was a prospect. He was highly touted, went to Yonsei University, went out as a two-way player. He's only pitched, I think, in a playoff appearance, but he is an outfielder by trade. He's very good. Very good with contact, and his defense is not probably he's not known for his defense, but he's adequate, and his bat is what's going to be and be what would bring him over. He also has a chance at coming over to the United States in the Major League Baseball. And then there's the KT's Hong Baek-ho. Now this guy, he would basically, when he was coming out of high school 3 years ago, he was touted as Korea's Ohtani, basically, two-way player. He said he wanted at the time to pitch, and he was a catcher at the time, pitch and catch. The team said, hold on there, bud. We're going to make you into a one-way player. And so he's actually been in the outfield for his first 2 years. This year, I saw that they're trying to move him to first base, trying to become that slugging first baseman. He tried last year to go out and try to pitch again. It just was not happening, and says, you know what, I'm just going to focus my time on trying to become a better, you know, fielder, better batter. And so that's what he's been doing. But he is a very interesting player to watch, because if he continues his trajectory the way it's looking, he would also possibly be getting posted by his team.
That's exciting. There's quite a few of them there that we might be seeing come over pretty soon. Like I mentioned, we got Josh Lindblom coming back, but Kim, as you mentioned, he signed with the Cardinals. That'll be exciting to see, because that's one of the fun things. What I do is I analyze fantasy baseball a lot and just other baseball in general, and we're trying to kind of figure out how this will translate. And you're already mentioning it's tough because different leagues and different situations, and it's always interesting to see how they'll play out. What can you tell people about Kim coming over to America? Like, what things did you see in Korea that maybe we can expect here?
Well, I actually wished he would have come over even earlier. He was the ace. So basically 10 years ago, they had three top pitchers. You may have heard two of them. Ryu Hyun-jin went to the Dodgers. Then there's a player by the name of Yoon Suk-min, went to the Orioles organization. He was the top. Those two were the top stars. Yang for Kia, which I already talked about, and Kim Kwang-hyun. these were their four horses for their national team. And Kim is a workhorse. He has great stuff. He had an injury bug. It's not that he's prone to injury. He just had some injuries that slowed him down a couple years that probably prevented him from coming over to the majors earlier. But Trey Hillman worked his magic, got Kim a ring, and got him some more eyes on him, basically, by the major leagues. And the Cardinals liked him enough to sign him. And I think he's going to do quite well before everything shut down in spring. He was having some success. I know there's some questions whether he's going to become rotation or not. And by injuries, it looks like he was about ready to play himself into that rotation. So now whenever MLB starts back again, it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out, because he was doing very well, and all of a sudden an extended break, and then is he going to be able to continue that success that he had in spring and then be able to play himself into into the rotation? And so I projected him. I'm just a fan. I know nothing about scouting, but I honestly thought he has a shot at being a back end starter, but I thought his stuff would play very well out of a bullpen.
Good to know. Cause I've heard a lot of mixed reviews on it. And obviously I have not watched a lot of them. You have. So I'll take your opinion very, very strong on that idea to think about Kim. I know I saw you tweeting about it and talking about it. It's different over there. Maybe you can shed light to this, but we can watch a game live, but once the game's over, only highlights are allowed in Korea, but they're trying to get like broadcasting rights in the U.S. What's the situation? Like, how can we watch the games? Maybe it's tough at the time that they're on. We're both on the West Coast, so it's late at night. Yep. How are they going to, I know they can't fix that, but what are they trying to do to accommodate that?
Well, I hope they're doing all they can, but unfortunately, I don't know if they are. So basically, as of now, April 22nd, currently the only way to watch these preseason games is by a platform such as Naver, which is a website. I tweeted the website links out to that. We're downloading an app called Naver TV, and currently all their games are available live worldwide. Only live, because once that game is over and even the highlights during the game, they are geo-blocked to Korea only. So if you can't watch anything on demand, but you can watch in the middle of the night for us here in the United States, watch the game live. And currently right now, most of the preseason games are at a 2 p.m. Korea time start. For us here in the West Coast, that's 10 p.m. That's not too bad. But the 6 p.m. games that are kicking off, and then in the regular season, they're going to be 6:30. That's a 2 a.m., 2:30 a.m. start for me. So I don't really stay up for those because I can't, just because of everything, I can't do it. So our hope as fans outside of Korea is either they unblock those highlights and game replays, because I love that they're doing live streaming. But from what I've heard is, the KBO sold just the international TV rights to a company called Eklat. Eklat is the one that holds that, and it would be the one bargaining with an ESPN or Fox Sports or whatever broadcaster in the world wants to get Korean rights. And so it's going to be them that decides if they're going to make a deal with ESPN, and then what kind of deal is it going to be? Live streaming of games? Is it going to be a highlight package only or not? So basically right now, everything is on hold. It's going to be geo-blocked, the stuff on demand, until I think they figure out what kind of deal they can get done. Say 2 months from now, no deal's done. My hope is that KBO says, look, Eklat, loosen up those rules. We want the world to see Korean baseball.
Yeah, because right now, like I said earlier, before the show and on the show, there's a lot of us that would tune in if we can maybe say on demand it at 1 p.m. our time. Like, we would be watching a KBO game. Big time. So,
that's my hope as well. And I don't know a lot about the Taiwanese league, the CPBL. They were the first ones to kick off here, but they are doing it right. Their broadcasters are having, I just saw another team signed up to have an English broadcast on Twitter. I mean, that just right there is obviously knowing your audience and knowing what's out there. So my prayer for the KBO is they get it together. They say, hey, let's look at the long term. Let's market these teams. Let's market these players. But at the same time, I do know that the teams and people are worried about losing the players, because they don't want to be a feeder league just for the major leagues. They love that a guy like Roo Hyun Jin comes over, but they don't want to lose 10 other guys each season. one guy every couple of years, that's okay. So, but, you know, the more eyes on him, the more scrutiny, the more scouting goes on and possible loss of talent and or criticism that they're not used to. And they don't want to be criticized for something that they've always done and had, you know, they've been not seen by outside eyes. Nobody would have known that they're doing it, or that, you know, the quality of play isn't quite what everybody thought it was or something like that. So there's a little bit of, I understand their side, but at the same time, I'm just like, as a fan that lives in the United States, I'm like, please, please just give us anything. Just let us watch it. I love that they're allowing live streaming right now, but I mean, like I said, I'd like to watch a replay right now, but I can't because I'm blocked unless you go through VPNs.
Yeah. No, that's it's interesting though. When you mention it like that, it makes sense from their viewpoint. I totally get it. And I guarantee a lot of us haven't thought of it that way. That makes a ton of sense. At the same time, we're kind of, you know, thinking of ourselves as well. So it's kind of,
right,
kind of
exactly, because we're about ready to go crazy. I can only watch so much esports.
Exactly.
No offense to the gamers, but I'm like, I really need to see, rather than somebody like video hit a home run in the show, I actually want to see a home run in the show. Like,
exactly.
I don't 100%. Even care if it's a practice game.
I literally watched your replay of a clip yesterday or something, like three different times, because it was so fun to watch home runs and everything else. So,
sure. Yeah.
Just a couple more questions and we'll get you out of here. You mentioned the CPBL that in Taiwan, there's, you know, the Japanese league, which we've seen a lot of players come over from as well. Just from what you know, is how much different is the KBO from, say, the Japanese league or some of those other Asian baseball leagues?
So I guess the pecking order that I have always heard, again, I'm not a scout, but or any pretend to be one, but what I've always heard from scouts and major league related people are, is the pecking order in Asia goes Japanese league, NPB first, then the KBO, then the CPBL. This is only for the Asian leagues here. And what I've also heard from players that have played in both leagues and played in Korea as well, or Korea and Japan, is that the difference is that the KBO is maybe a little bit more like the MLB rather than NPB, where it plays a lot of small ball. I don't watch a lot of Japanese baseball, but the KBO bunts, and they bunt in some random situations, and you're going, why are they bunting right now? I don't understand it. But it seems that there is less of that in the Korean baseball than there is in Japanese baseball.
Okay.
So talent-wise, Japan's probably better than Korean league, but I guess for the major league fans and watchers, they may enjoy the KBO league a little bit more. Again, a couple years ago when the ball was juiced, or quote, juiced, that the league didn't admit, it was very fun to watch, not if you're a pitcher, but I mean, they just hit bombs and then they reeled it in, de-juiced the ball, again, quote, de-juiced, supposedly fixed it. And then this 2019 had home runs down, and just, I don't know if it's a coincidence, but their viewership also went down in Korea, actually. Their TV ratings reduced. Their fans went down. Again, I don't know if that's saying that everybody wants to watch, you know, 15 to 14 games, but again, it's something to look at. Is there a correlation between, you know, home runs and increased TV ratings and increased attendance? I don't know if that's the direct correlation, but I would think somebody would have to look at it and be like, well, maybe there is. So I was curious to see what kind of ball they're going to be using here in 2020.
Nice. It's good to hear that it's not just the Major League Baseball. It's the KBO having juiced baseballs, and what are we going to use this year? So that's always fun.
I want to say that the Major League saw what was happening in Korea and saw the fans, saw the increase, and they thought, hey, let's see what we can do here. And thus, that's why the nine-hole hitters hitting like 30 home runs. So, I mean, I don't know if there's a direct correlation. Not making accusations, but it definitely has seen the rise in home runs was the rise in popularity and increased TV ratings in Korea. And then last year saw home runs decrease, and just so happened their TV ratings and attendance went down as well.
All right. I have a couple listener questions and then we'll wrap it up here. Barry Baker, he loves prospects. He loves international players. He's a big fan of this. So he like had a legit question on a player that you might know from what you've seen. He wants to know, when will Na Sung Bum be coming over to America? Do you figure he's maybe one of the next bats to come over this way?
He is. I mentioned him a little bit early in the players that, you know, your listeners should know. And he is one of the players, one of the bats to be coming over. He would probably be him and Kim Ha-sung from Kiwoom Heroes would probably be the next two guys to come over to the majors. It's going to depend, honestly, how quick he's healed, supposedly. But we'll see if he's back to his old self. He got injured in a very nasty collision last year. I tweeted it out last year, and I felt really – it was actually disgusting to watch. It was one of those, oh, look away kind of moments. Yeah. And I was like, that wasn't a good thing to do. I didn't realize it at the time how bad it was. And he was out for the season, for the rest of the season. He was having a great start, too. So NC fans, and he's possibly – probably hoping that he has a great season on the field this year, which could translate into coming over to the major leagues in the very future.
Yeah, I pulled up his stats page from your website over here, and pretty good. 20 plus homers, double digit stolen base, great average, good ball player.
So when he was a prospect, he was a five tool player, almost a five tool player for KBO wise is what they're considering. He slowed down a bit with the injury and stuff like that. So I mean, he was one of those guys that was just all around good. It all. And so he's done it all for NC. Now the hope is that he has a great year. Me as a fan in the United States, I'd love to see him come to the major leagues, but obviously NC Dinos fans are like, let's hold on to him. But at the same time, they take great pride in knowing that they had a player that came from their team is now having success in the highest talented baseball league in the world.
I think that's a good way to look at it, for sure. It's definitely a good way to look at it. So I'm glad they have that perspective on it. That's good, because I think it is kind of an honor to go, hey, he came from us, and now he's doing it with the best, because that's the goal any person has. No matter what you're doing in life, you want to do it with the best. So that's an interesting way to go about it there. Question from JT underscore the ginger. He wants to know, because there's been talk about it here in America from fantasy baseball people. They want to create like fantasy baseball KBO. Have you heard of any fantasy baseball KBO maybe in Korea?
So fantasy baseball, I know you're fantasy focused podcast here. So fantasy baseball is not what they had, what MLB has. So Naver, again, the online website, tried to run like a salary cap style baseball league 5-6 years ago. They just did not get the players. They just did not get the fans to buy in, basically, to that. My site, mykbostats.com, also placed salary cap style fantasy baseball league up there, and just within my little KBO community there, and it just did not get quite the interest as well. And I think it's actually still up in our community page there. People want to try to play here this first half of the season, and I think one of the reasons is because of the depth and talent. There's only 10 teams. There is 20 this year. They're going to have 28 man active rosters, but only 26 in play. And if you're not picking up the stars, you're kind of going through the scraps real fast. So I think that might be one of the reasons why it's very hard to have a fantasy like the way it would work here in the major leagues, like a very kind of mirror that, just because of the player pool is much less.
Yeah, you have smaller leagues or a daily type league or something. It'd be interesting. And I guarantee you, if we sit around the house, I challenge your listeners to come up with their own. Yeah. If we sit around the house more, people will, I guarantee you. It's going to happen. So we'll see. Last question I have from you is from at David Swan. It's kind of bringing us back to the start here with the different kind of way the season's starting, obviously. What do you think, or what have you heard, might be the most difficult change for these players, like compared to the normal? Like, what are they adapting to the most that might be the hardest to adapt to, do you think?
Sure. Now, I've never played the game at a high level or at the pro level, but I can only imagine what, at least with Korean baseball, if you've seen some of the highlights from them, basically the closest thing I can find to here in North America is a NCAA college football game. They're singing, there is cheering. It is loud when you go to those games, correct? I mean, you got to cover your ears sometimes. It gets so loud in some of these stadiums. Korean baseball, even though they might have smaller stadiums, only 20,000, 18,000 people in a stadium, it is loud. They have cheer masters leading the cheers. They have players have their own songs. They have team songs that people are singing, chanting with. They have thunder sticks. They're banging. It is a loud atmosphere. All of a sudden, 2020, COVID-19 wiping out. No fans at games. It is going to be quiet. If you watch some of the practice games, I think my friend Jiho Yu, who writes for the Yonhap, please follow him. He's a great follow. Even wrote in that first practice game, he heard swearing on the field. He heard the ball. He heard strategy being talked about because it is silent. I think that will honestly be the hardest, one of the things that's not looked at for these players that have grown up in the KBO, that have watched Korean baseball. You know, they're used to having fans chanting their name. They're used to hearing songs. All of a sudden, then the most sterile environment, it's quiet. You can hear a pin drop. It's going to be interesting to see, you know, if that actually throws them off a little bit. I know players will say, yeah, we don't pay attention to the fans. We just focus. We're focusing, you know, we're so concentrated on the game. But when you have players and teams and cheerleaders and just all this loud music going on, to all of a sudden have that stop to 0 decibels, it's going to be real interesting to see how that plays out for players' psyche, you know. Like I said, strategy. If you're that quiet and you can hear people talking, the other team's hearing you talking as well. It's getting picked up by TV. So who knows what's going to play, how it's going to play out on the field. And that's one of the few things that I'm actually, I mean, I'm sad that, very sad, obviously, for COVID-19 have all done. But with the baseball-wise, I'm actually curious to see how that's going to play out on the field. And just to see, it'll be an interesting experiment to see what that looks like, to go to a raucous environment to now a golf environment or something very quiet.
No, it's going to be really interesting. That's one of the things I know they've talked about in the States, that the empty stadiums, that's the one of the, for all sports, is kind of how they're trying to portray things. And a lot of people have said how different that'll be. How do these guys adjust to that? It's it's one thing when you're playing maybe high school ball and you have 20 people in the stands, but now when you're used to playing with X amount of thousands of people all the time, it's going to be a little different to try to see how things go. I think the strategy part, like you mentioned, is very, very interesting to break down there.
Right. Well, I guess the good thing for the Astros is they're not going to have to bang the trash can near as loud. They can just kind of flick it. Sorry,
it'll be a little
fans.
Different. No, that's good. And on the day that the Red Sox get a slap on the wrist, it's been amazing. So yes, all the cheating will be a little tougher with no one in the stands. That's for sure.
And but, I know that might be one thing the major leagues might start looking at, going, maybe we should have done this a while ago, thinned out the crowd so that we can hear everything.
Yeah, there you go. I'm pretty sure the owners would be anti that movement for sure. But Dan, I will let you get out on that. We'll wrap it up here, but just before we sign off, give everybody one last kind of, I'm not saying it's a sales pitch, but what would you tell people that are interested in the KBO to get them to be excited about the KBO?
Sure. If you are missing baseball, the KBO will fill that need. If you're expecting the MLB caliber play, you're going to be disappointed. So that's why I always tell fans that are starting to, brand new fans to the KBO, is don't look at it through major league guys. Because if you do that, you're going to be critical. You're not going to have fun. Just enjoy the KBO for what it is. It's the KBO. You're going to have a bat flip. You're going to have maybe a blooper, but at the same time, you're going to miss some very fine plays. If all you're doing is criticizing, going, this is not the major league. It's not trying to be the major league. It's the Korea Baseball Organization. And I think that, in itself, it's something different for new fans, and that in itself will make you want to stay and watch, because there is some great players, there's some great quality of play, and there's some fun stuff that goes on too.
That is a great sales pitch. I love the don't have major league expectations, but have great baseball expectations. And you're right, the bat flips are great, the excitement was still there on the clips I've seen. It's different, like you said, when there's no fans there, but they're still excited, they're playing baseball, the thing we all love anyway. So it's great to see. But Dan, thanks for joining me. I've had an absolute blast talking to you here. It's been really cool to kind of pick your brain on something that we all need, and that's baseball, and the KBO is going to give that to us.
Well, thank you very much for having me. I know you briefly talked about movies. It's not a movie, but I highly recommend the Korean drama that just came out this winter. What's called Stove League. I think it's on the streaming service Viki. It's a very good look at a fictional Korean-run baseball team, and some of the stuff actually – possibly may have happened on a KBO team. So I highly recommend it.
And what's it called again?
Stove League, like the hot stove, STOVE, Stove League. And it's basically a front off, about a fictional Korean professional baseball team and their off season.
Awesome. I will have to check that out. And mainly this is a fantasy show, but it's also Bench with Bubba, because we talk about whatever we want. I've had all kinds of different things on non-fantasy related. So that's why I'm a baseball fan through and through. So I'm excited to chat with you here. And maybe we'll chat again sometime as maybe the KBO just really takes off and we have something big to talk about, or I got more questions for you. So I appreciate you joining me. And again, thank you very much.
Well, thank you for having me.
No problem. This is Bench with Bubba, episode 279 with Dan Kurtz from MyKBO.net. Catch you guys later.
Life's better with an auto policy from American Family Insurance. No matter what dreams you're driving towards. That's because our expert agents will make you feel totally protected with the right auto coverage at the right price. You'll also save up to 23% when you bundle auto with home. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.